Welcome to the podcast of New Covenant Church, where loving God and others is our greatest joy. We pray this podcast will be helpful in your understanding of God's love for you. Join us now as we enter his story, meeting Jesus on every page.
In your life, we never really hope to stay the same, right? There's always a sense that we want to change and change for the better. It doesn't always work out that way. I intended to lose 15 pounds before the new year. I'm about 25 away from that, so but New Year's, and whether you like it or not, and you read all the statistics about failure rates of people who make New Year's resolutions, we still do them because we find that there's an ending point, there's a new beginning point, and somehow that gives us hope and an idea that we should be changed. And so I want to take us back to a very familiar passage, but it's a passage that should be written upon the hearts of all of us. And we find that in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. And we would ask that as we take these words to heart, Lord, the transforming nature and the power of your Spirit would work in us. Lord, the things that are nagging us and holding us back, and Lord, we pray that we would be emboldened, encouraged by your Spirit, and empowered, Lord, to follow through this year and let those changes make changes in our lives and those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know over the holidays what you did, but I did what I do best, and that is I binge watched Netflix. Any of you ever do that? And this time it was the 72 most dangerous animals of South America. You know that you've watched a lot when you get to that point and you think that's really interesting. But I would never felt so creeped out laying in bed thinking of all the deadly spiders that I just watched in South America. Listen, don't go there. Just don't go. There's snakes, then the big fangs, there's pythons. It's just, you know, dead. I mean, fine. But don't go there. Anyway, part of that is that I was thinking of the animal kingdom. And one of the unique, beautiful animals that we have, or insect, is a butterfly. But if you've ever seen a butterfly, they never start out looking like that, do they? They start out as a caterpillar. Now, caterpillars can be pretty impressive depending upon their colors, but still, there's nothing like this winged, this beautiful, winged, delicate, flying creature that just, it seems to, if they come by you or when they're going across the country, to have one land on your hand is just amazing. Well, God can take something like that and do it in your life and in my life too. We want to be that special creation that God uses that is a blessing, that is an awe to those around us. And not all that do we always make the right choices, do we? First of all, this year, this next day or so, before we go into the new year, I think it would be good for every one of us to review our own patterns. Look at verse 2 of Romans 12. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Now, that is actually a command. He's saying, don't be conformed. Don't to the patterns of this world. And there are patterns. The word that is used here is to fashion alike or conform to the same pattern outwardly. Okay? It also means to assimilate or be conformed, to become behaviorally or socially similar to and conceive of as becoming shaped or molded to a certain pattern. If you've noticed certain patterns in the world, not all of them are necessarily good, are they? Not every pattern that the world sets out is something that we should emulate or behave. And he is talking about basically this. He says, okay, in Christ, as a new creation in Christ, he says, you have been set aside to be transformed into the image of Christ himself. Not necessarily be continually conformed to the world around you. There are certain patterns of behavior, there are certain activities, there's certain ethics that we can look at now that we've been enlightened by the Lord and you have a hunger and a thirst for the knowledge of God. You can see the patterns that are good and then the patterns that are somewhat destructive. You know that about yourself, don't you? Most of us have been around for a while. I mean, I'm looking around the room. So many of you have been around for quite a while, but that's good. But you know yourself, and you're getting to know yourself better. And he says, you have to know these patterns and not conform to them. Here, if we're going to review our patterns, we could say, where are you now? I mean, are you where you would like to be? Are you where that you believe God wants you to be in your life? Or maybe you haven't even considered that lately. But how did you end 2017? Was it a good ending? Did you achieve some things that you wanted to? Were you able to conform closer to Christ? Or were you kind of slipping backwards? Are you the person that you want to be? Now, that's a tough question, isn't it? If you're a person that's not hard on yourself, you're like, yeah, I'm awesome. I've always been this way. But if you're like a lot of the rest of us who tend to be pretty hard on ourselves, we typically are never fully reaching exactly where we want to be. And that can be a self-defeating process because discouragement can come in. Are you living the way that you know is right today? Do you believe the way you're living is pleasing to God? That's a really big question. And the way that I'm living today, is it pleasing unto the Lord? My interactions and my relationships with my family, my friends, my interactions and my relationships with those around me, am I really being pleasing to God? Is that a big point? Or is the point that I should be pleased, right? Because we live in a society that says, hey man, just go for it. It's all about you. You should get everything that you want and so on and on and on. And pretty soon that idea and that pattern of thinking can conform us to become very selfish, where if we look at what God says, God says, no, 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 no. I want you to set your mind upon me and set your heart upon pleasing me. Now, if you're new to the faith, listen, you can't make this stuff up as you go, okay? God does not think like you or I. We find that throughout Scripture. And he's constantly calling out to us and saying, hey, I have some other ideas. I've sent you my prophets. I've sent you those who would come and speak to you, those who would lead you. And I finally have sent my own son, Jesus Christ. And he is my final message to this world, who he is and what he does. And if we set that as the center of who we are and where we go, then our lives become transformed. Now, listen. If you're brand new to the faith, you have a lot of excitement and probably a lot of confusion. But you have hope of transformation and newness of life. But if you've been a believer for some time, there can be problems. The younger person or the person new in the faith who doesn't know as much will have a lot of discovery. But many of you, like myself, have been around for a long time. and you've been in the church for a long time and you know these things that God wants you to do, and it can become just pattern or rote behavior, right? Can anyone say amen to that? You shouldn't have said amen. That was a trick question. I'm joking. No, it's one of those things that you know it, the struggle there. But the question still comes to you and I, those of us who've been around a while, is that do you and I understand the expectations that God has for us? Period. Are you serving in a way that you're supposed to? What are your relationships like? What is your heart and your passion now in your life? And they do change as you get older. But is God still at the top of the list? Pleasing God, understanding His expectations for us. Are you moving forward? Or are you sliding backwards? Here's the point. If you're new in the faith, you need biblical and cultural instruction. You need information, right? Discipleship. If you've been in the faith and become comfortable with the world's values around you, you'll need reminding of what God wants from you. Our attitude and mind control everything. Let me read you this passage again, but in the Message translation. It says, "Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you." I think it's said beautifully. You see, we were never meant to conform to the ways and values of the world around us, okay? Rather, we were destined by God to be transformed by a relationship with Him and His people. We shouldn't stay the same. God is changing us into something new. You might have to look at your life today, tomorrow, a few days, and come to find that you can see God's tender work of mercy in you. And that could become very exciting. What things have actually changed? What things are really making a difference in your life? And mark those and be thankful for them and thank God for them. Because, listen, if it's just about condemning you for what you don't do or what you do wrong, after a while, you get the sense that, you know, I should just give up. I shouldn't even try anymore. But no, God's work is not that way. He stays with us with mercy and with love and instruction and discipline and correction, and He's transforming us into something new. All right, renew your mind. So look at the other part of this verse. He says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The word here in Greek is metamorphoi, and it means to be changed or be transformed into something different, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the equivalent of being completely different or different from what you are. It's to be changed in inward appearance or expression manifesting a change in nature or essence. Okay, that's a mouthful. The question is, do you believe that you can actually change? That's a lot of times the big problem, isn't it? The big problem is, do I really believe that I can change? You know, a friend of mine was over at dinner at his place the other night, and he said, like my grandfather used to say, people change, but they don't change that much, right? And that's kind of the feeling about ourselves at times. Can we really trust God to make differences that have really been hard for you to do? Changes that you have been unsuccessful in doing, period. Those are the big challenges. Those are the ones. The question is, do we have enough belief in God and trust in Him to say, okay, God, this year, okay, I'm going to give this to you. And I want to be changed from the inside, resulting in outer expression of who I am. And I want to be changed in a way, Lord, that glorifies you. I want to be transformed. And he says the way that happens is being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Anybody ever think that your mind needs renewing? Listen, once you get past the age of 50, your mind needs renewing. I know mine does. I mean, mine is renewed a lot because I tend to forget most things, so every day is a brand new day. If it was a bad day yesterday, I don't know, I can't remember. But there needs to be a renewing that says, okay, God is real. God is at work in this world, and this is God's world. Now, the world currently, for the most part, is in a state of rebellion. But he has intervened, and he has given me the possibility of things changing within my life. And it starts within the mind, your attitude, your heart, and your mind. Okay? This transformation goes to the very essence of who we are as a person. It's transformation fueled by God's grace and love for us. It's a rescue mission for the human, for humans on the earth. And it takes place at the center of who we are in our heart and our mind, renewing our mind. The word here that is used for mind is nous. And it is the organ or mental perception and apprehension of conscious life, the consciousness preceding actions or recognizing and judging them, intelligent understanding. It's also known as the seat of emotions, affections, the mode of thinking and feeling and disposition, moral inclination, and equivalent to the heart. You see, the mind is where all of this work takes place. In your mind, if you don't believe that God can transform, if you have super doubt about yourself, it will be hard for you. There's a hard drive running in there, whether you like it or not. And it tells you and informs you how to relate to information and to other people and so forth. And a lot of it isn't necessarily that productive. Think of some of the patterns that you've had in your life. Maybe if you can't think of them, think of other folks, people that you know. Like, you know, they're always a downer. Every time you talk to them, they're just, you know, wah, wah, wah. Hey, how'd it go today? Wah, wah, wah. Anything good happen on your birthday? Wah, you know? It's like you can just see it in other people maybe better than you see it in yourself, but there's something running in there. There's a pattern running in there. There are people I know that are always really up and excited, and they're just a downer because they bring you down because they never have anything bad to say about their lives. Like, anything bad happened to you this year? No, it was all good. Everything was tops. We're just heading straight up. I mean, you know, got money falling out of my pockets. Really healthy. Just ran a 200K yesterday. And, you know, I ate about a steak every 2 or 3 hours. It's just awesome. I have a great life. Something wrong running that head right there. But we have them. We have a hard drive that tells us who we are and what we do. And he says, listen, you want that baby humming, and you want it to be changed, and you want it to be renewed. And it's our mental attitude. See, mental attitude is a complex mental state involving beliefs and feelings, values, and dispositions to act in certain ways. Listen, this is where all of our actions and reactions begin, our motivations, our fears, our failure. Change must occur here in the heart, the mind, first. First. There's a word that is used here for renewing, and it's the act of reestablishing something in a like new and often improved manner. It's an act of reestablishing something in a like new and often improved manner. Now that sounds manageable, doesn't it? I don't know if my mind is ever going to look totally new, but a like new fashioned and in a better position. And God can take that and will do that. You know, if you continually tell yourself that you can't, if you continually tell yourself that you're not good enough, if you continually tell yourself that God doesn't really love you, listen, that's got to change. If these things continually run in your mind and you're always suspicious of other people and so forth, this has got to change. And God says you do that by renewal. It's sort of a renovation of the mind. It requires a desire to change. It requires exposure to better information. Maybe you're continually feeding yourself with things that are not healthy. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I think our country, I mean a lot of us, are just absolutely sick of, tired of, worn out by the news media. I don't care what side you're on, it doesn't really matter. People are just like, could we take a year off, you know? Could we just take a year off and not listen to this mess continually? I think it's depressing, and I think there's a wave of people who are just starting to, like myself, just back away because I can't handle it anymore. It's just too much. We need exposure to better information. So I went out and bought myself a new book for New Year's, and it's just fantastic. And some of it will probably be leaking into sermons throughout the year, but it's so much better information. So much better information that has made my mind excited and joyful about the possibilities. Here's a good place to start. Start reading your Bible again. If you'd planned to read through the Bible in the whole year, well, then plan it again. How far did you get this year? How long did it last? Did you get hung up in Leviticus? Well, just the pronunciation of the words alone. I'll get you. But study and read what you can. Hang out with other believers. Be sure, don't neglect the assembling of yourselves together. Spend time with other believers. Hang out with them. Talk about your day. Talk about the things you've been reading. Pray together. But make sure that that becomes a part of your life, period. That needs to be a healthy part of our lives because our minds are typically challenged by other folks, and you can get good tips on books, nature shows on Netflix, and or whatever else. And believers always have food at their house, so it's always a kind of a safe thing. Either you're meeting around coffee or some type of food. Study what you can, read what you can. Find someone to disciple or to disciple you. If you don't know what discipling is, it's the process of taking someone and showing them the ropes of the faith. And many of you have had that done in your life. You can remember that person or persons who took you aside, took you under their wing and said, listen, come and be with me for a while and we're going to talk about the faith and what it really means to be in Christ and what that looks like on a daily basis. And you always have super fond memories of that person, because they were critical in your growth of your life, something that you could never really fully repay another person. If you have been discipled by someone and you know what that's like, my encouragement this year would find somebody who looks like they want to know something. Maybe it's a younger believer, and say, hey, would you like to hang out for a few weeks or months? Hang out this year, and we'll go over Scripture together and what it means to know read the Bible and to be involved in the faith. That would be a way to transform your mind. As our minds change, our actions will change, and we learn to rely on the Holy Spirit. And this is very important. It says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Doesn't that sound wonderful? People say, I want to know what God's will is. Okay. Then begin the process of renewing your mind. Let God change and renew your mind. It's not just reading. It's not just praying. It's the desire for God to do his perfect work. And he says, in that process, as your mind grows, in that process, you'll be able to know, test, and know what the will of God is. And, you know, if I could tell you, listen, you come up here, have a drink of this water, and I'll prove, and you'll know God's will immediately. It's only $250 per drink, but I'll give you one sip, and you will know the will of God for your life. Many of you would say, okay, it's worth a try, because we want to know God's will, don't we? We want to know what he wants us to be doing. Who am I supposed to marry? Should I stay at this job? Well, what do you want me to do, God, in this particular area? I want to know your will for my life. Well, this is how it takes place. By your mind being renewed, you'll be transformed, and you'll be able to understand and test and know what God's will is. That's the type of illumination and transformation that happens when we give our full attention to God. All right, I want you to look back with me at verse 1 of Romans 12. And this is a real action here where he said we're told to relinquish our lives to God. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. True and proper worship. He says, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That is, it's one thing to offer something that is deceased, but it's another to offer to God something that's alive, that says, my life is yours. And I offer it to you, and I want you to use it because I want to be pleasing to you. And this is the proper form of worship. Now, I would say that the worship team here has a very, very proper form of worship, that we're very blessed to be a part of this. But he says, on a personal, private level, your proper way to worship God is not just the tone of your voice, but actually the saying that, you know what, God, you've given me everything, and so I give you what I have. What little there is, what little talent, whatever I may see there, it belongs to you. And he says, this is the proper form of worship, is giving God everything that you are, period. See, that's when transformation will really occur. We offer ourselves to God. We give him all that we are and all you will become. And we give him the bad stuff, the good stuff, to be changed wholly, to become truly human, living in communion with God and enjoying him forever. Today, we're going to take communion here in just a few minutes. This is a real meal. It's probably the most real one we'll have this week. He said to his disciples, look, you eat, you drink of the cup. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood. That's the new covenant and agreement I'm making with those that will follow me. And he invited anyone and everyone in. And they came from everywhere. And he says, take of me, because I'm true life. God is awfully true, and that his life is real, and that he offers it to us. It's communion with God, living with God. Here, let me read you this verse, and we'll wrap it up in the message. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embrace what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. You get that? Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. It's to comply. It's to follow the pattern that he has set for us, and it's to be transformed. And I pray that this year would be really successful for you guys, that your heart would leap toward God and you would see the transforming results, transforming not only to you but those around you. Father, we thank you for this morning, and we ask, Lord, that as we come to your table, that you would forgive us, Lord, for the things that we have been disobedient, not your will, sinful and wrong. We place it before you and we ask for forgiveness. Lord, we also ask for forgiveness for the things that we've left undone, the things that you've called us to do that we haven't done. You've called, but we haven't responded. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us of that and allow us more opportunities to work for you and your kingdom, to show real love and compassion toward others. We place this before you, Lord, and we're honored that you would invite us to your table. And you say, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of you. Well, we can think only of you right now. And Lord, we pray that, I pray that if there's anybody here who feels that they're unworthy, Lord, that they'd be filled with your Spirit and ask for forgiveness and come and take. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope this message was a blessing to you, and thank you for listening. God bless you and keep you. God smile on you and gift you. May God look you full in the face and make you prosper.